It's the Yearbook Podcast. Welcome. I'm your host, Doug. Thank God the Mets' Jacob DeGrom won the National League Cy Young Award. DeGrom could have easily had a losing record this year, but even then, he still should have won. This is such a bizarre case. He's so underrated. Voters, unfortunately, had options other than DeGrom. Three National League pitchers won 18 games. DeGrom won 10, and that's usually bad news. There once was a Super Bowl MVP from a losing team, but now the attitude is, hey, he played great, but you just can't do that. That's the attitude now. Can't happen now. Well, baseball thankfully did that. DeGrom had virtually no run support and a 1.70 ERA, both argument enough, but he also allowed three runs or less in 29 consecutive starts. He just didn't screw up. And since 1969, only two other pitchers have had seasons as good as his. In other words, DeGrom had one of the best cases in history for a pitcher with a mediocre record. Only 10-9, DeGrom was still clearly dominant, which meant his run support must have been historically bad. While he played in relative anonymity in, of all places, New York, DeGrom's jersey was not one of MLB's top 20 sellers. You're listening to The Yearbook. You can contact us at saysintheyearbook@hotmail.com. It's for nurses and flight attendants. Also subscribe. Get us on iTunes, basically anywhere. So now everyone's on the Michigan football bandwagon. I'll admit that when Coach Jim Harbaugh took over, he was so energetic and aggressive. He pulled out every possible stop immediately. I mean, he hit the ground running. He was busy every second of every day of the offseason. He was conducting camps in other schools' backyards. He was sleeping outside recruits' backyards, actually right outside the driveway. He was just so aggressive that it just seemed like he was going to take the Big Ten by storm, and he couldn't win fast enough. But as we've theorized on this podcast over and over, making Michigan something it hasn't historically been, at least consistently, an annual mega power, should not have been considered easy. Over the last 4 years, a lot of people still got restless, and there was that ridiculous and misleading stat that had Harbaugh no better off than predecessor Brady Hoke. Misleading because the Big Ten has lately been cultivating a coaching logjam. Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan State all have marquee proven winners for head coaches. Nebraska and Minnesota have the two most recent next hot coach, and both could win huge. Purdue is winning, but might soon lose Jeff Brohm, and Iowa has been good to great generally under Kirk Ferentz. That is a ton of competition for wins and recruits, and the competition from especially Penn State, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Purdue was not in place until recently. Now, Michigan could obviously lose its last game with Ohio State and disappoint, or its last two games and really disappoint, but for now, patience paid off. But boy, were we wrong about the Red Sox. Last year at this time, we wanted Boston to keep manager John Farrell, and we still hope that he gets another major league job. But the Sox were 100% right. We were 100% wrong with Alex Cora. Cora gambled everything, for example, on winning World Series Game 3. Never did a 2-0 lead, which the Red Sox had, seem so slim. Cora lost. But it worked. Eventually. In Game 4, Cora improbably started the erratic Eduardo Rodriguez, and it worked. Eventually, Cora welcomed Steve Pierce in a trade. He was short for a first baseman, but it worked. He won World Series MVP. All of Cora's moves can't possibly pay off forever, but he is fascinating to watch, even in defeat. Alex Cora is officially on the list of intriguing coaches, managers who all by themselves are reason enough to watch a game. We would love to be on the bench. We want to know what they're thinking. We want to know what they're saying. Just to see them, these particular coaches, including Cora, we would watch a game. By the way, how hard Cora fan is she? Is she still wearing the gear? That's next time on this.